As the evenings draw in and temperatures begin to drop, the lights go on earlier and we contemplate switching on the heating, there's growing concern in households across the country and at the highest levels in government too over what the global energy crisis will mean for power supply and energy costs this winter. With the energy regulator proposing a peak time tariff to try to limit consumption, threats to gas supply as a result of the war in Ukraine and growing demand, the question is, can the lights be kept on? Green Party leader Eamon Ryan, Minister for the Environment, Climate, Communications and Transport, is with us in studio. Very good afternoon to you, Minister.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Welcome to the programme. First of all, my condolences and the condolences of all my colleagues here on the news of one of the death of your mother earlier this month.
Thank you.
So, huge increases we've seen in energy bills. The energy regulator opposing this peak time tariff plan, warnings that hundreds of thousands of households could face energy poverty this winter. Reports of plans being drawn up by government for fuel rationing, even concern in government, we believe, at maintaining civil order. How bad could the energy crisis be this winter?
No one should ignore the fact that we're facing into not just this winter, but probably the winter after, very, very challenging situation. And the main reason for that is the war in Ukraine, where energy has been used as a weapon of war, where the price today of the forward price for gas next winter is beyond any precedent, beyond any compare. And that has a knock-on consequence in terms of the price of electricity, because half of our electricity comes from using gas. So it is a huge concern, and it's a real challenge that the government will be able to face up to and help this country through. We will be able to keep the lights on. There is a challenge. In energy policy, you're always looking to achieve three objectives. Firstly, you want secure power, you want affordable power, and you want clean power. And I think in getting the balance right and achieving all three objectives, we will keep the lights on and we will get our country through what is a very difficult, challenging period. Not just this country, every country in Europe particularly. In fact, most countries in Europe are probably facing greater challenges. They all have the same problems because of the way energy has been used in this way in the war.
But there have been warnings from well before the outbreak of the war in Ukraine that we could find ourselves in this situation. We can go back to 2020 when Airgrid and the All-Ireland Energy Review was warning of the need for additional generation capacity here, an extra 260 megawatts by October 2022 and so on over the coming years. So this has been clear for quite some time, hasn't it? And
it has.
Quite some time before the war.
It has. On that, the supply of electricity here, there were, as you say, other issues which we have to face and challenges. Nothing like as significant, though, as the price impacts of what's happening in Ukraine, but still has to be managed. There were three aspects of that. Firstly, we didn't deliver back in 2019, some of the additional power capacity that we knew we needed. That was largely gas-fired power generation, which acts as backup to wind. Mm. And for a variety of largely technical and market-related issues, that power supply wasn't provided. Secondly, there was also, and this goes back 2018, 2019, up to 2020, a significant increase in electricity demand, half of which was accounted for by additional data centres coming onto our system. That also is something that this government has started to address. We've changed the rules, changed the whole policy approach to make sure that any new data centres have to fit in within our security and our low carbon energy future.
But only this month, Dublin City Council has given planning permission to Amazon to build two data centres in North Dublin.
Any new data centres that were contracted from here, or indeed it was from September 2020 when we came into government, we recognised there was a problem and started to say, no, we have to be careful now that we don't just provide additional capacity which doesn't support our energy security. So any new data centres, we're working with those companies and we do need them as part of our economy, as part of the ways of creating wealth and employment and services in our country. We have to make sure that they are located in a place where it supports the grid, that they have flexible demand management so that at times when there is tightness in our electricity market, we can adapt. And also that their backup generation can be used, can be low carbon, zero carbon, and can be used to help to support the grid. We're working with the companies to say that is the future that they have to be part of and we will be part of too.
Let's come to this question of supply to focus on that. Now, the plan was for additional backup generation of 200 megawatts in place for this winter. That's not going to now be available, is it? There won't be that additional capacity.
That was subject to legal challenge and was delayed, but it will be delivered next year. And additional to that, back in April 2021, we recognised that that auction system back in 2019 hadn't delivered, that we needed to do emergency procurement and purchasing systems. The Oireachtas supported and agreed that 200 megawatts procurement, but also this spring, an additional 450 megawatts, which we are purchasing directly on the market to close that gap, to address the issue that arose because of those 2019 auctions.
You're not going to have this additional capacity, which you hope to have this winter, until next year. So what does that mean for the government's plans for this winter?
It means we have to be very careful. There's a third variable or third issue, which has been part of the problem we've had, is that some of the older fossil fuel plants wasn't available, or indeed even some of the modern fossil fuel plant wasn't available. Part of that was coming out of COVID, where the maintenance programmes were disrupted. On all three, we have to address it.
Sorry to cut across. I mean, you've been diagnosing now for a number of minutes the problem.
Yes.
I'm looking for what the government's answers are. What is the government's plan?
The three answers. On the security supply, we have that at least 650 megawatts of additional emergency generation, which will be delivered in the coming 18 months. Secondly, on the demand side...
The 18 months... This winter, Minister. Next month, the month after that.
It will be delivered as fast as possibly can.
So how much extra capacity would you hope to have in place by the end of the year, for example?
The additional capacity won't come in place until next year.
So no additional generating capacity in 2022.
There is significant new generation capacity coming in the renewable side. This government has contracted more new renewables than the previous 10 years put together. And that renewable capacity...
So when will that come online?
That is coming online. That is being delivered, both solar power and wind power, onshore and offshore starting now, which is the fundamental solution to our power supply problem.
How much for the coming winter?
The coming winter, there is several hundred megawatts of renewable power starting to come on stream from the auctions that were approved in the last 2 years. But the real prize and the way for us to tackle this problem is to switch to renewables where we're not dependent on imported fuel prices, where we have a comparative competitive advantage, and where we can switch not just to onshore wind, but to solar and offshore wind as a way of meeting
needs.
You
also accept we'll always need backup. We'll always need thermal backup. We'll need continued generation from gas, primarily, it's hoped, even when all that renewable capacity is in place.
We need something like 2 gigawatts of additional flexible gas plant, which will use less gas, but which would be there to complement the cheaper wind resources. The emergency process will provide about 650 of that. The remaining is being provided through auction schemes that will have to deliver. It will take 2 to 3 years. That's the reality. But it's those next 2 to 3 years that we have a supply tightness
I'm still looking for an answer to my question about what happens over not the next 2 to 3 years, but the next 2 to 3 months.
We expect to be able to provide the power that this country needs in the next 2 to 3 months. We don't envisage the sort of, you read in the papers and elsewhere, kind of very dramatic scenarios in terms of real problems in that regard. I'll be honest, Brian.
But that's the contingency planning, isn't it?
Yes, well, you always contingency plan to every eventuality, but we don't expect it. The real challenge, and I suppose it's really important we kind of separate out what the various challenges are. The real challenge of this coming winter is going to be on the price side. And that for the householder is particularly important and for businesses. Mm. And their government has already in the last year done than just about any other, more than any other European government in trying to protect householders. But we're going to have to do a lot more, both householders and businesses, because that is the real challenge in this winter. It'll have to be set out in the budget. It'll have to consider issues such as windfall charges to help fund supports for householders in very difficult times.
Windfall charges on power companies?
Yes, to make sure that we have the funding and finance available to get through what is an unprecedented time in terms of the price shock that we and every other country in Europe is undergoing at this present time. That is the biggest challenge in this coming winter. That's the one we have to, as well as keeping the lights on, we have to make sure people can afford the power coming through.
I mean, a number of European countries, the French, the Portuguese, the Spanish, I think the British, have capped energy prices. Should energy prices here be capped?
I don't believe the system the British have adopted has actually worked. They're actually looking, those caps are now coming to an end at just the most difficult time. So that doesn't necessarily, I think, protect your consumers. I think the better measure is the likes of, as I said, and I've asked my department some 2 months ago to come forward with proposals and ready for the budget time as to how we could raise funding to help pay for some supports. The other measures that we're doing, our Reduce Reuse campaign is a critical part of it. We're working there with the European Union to make sure that we try and save demand. What the Commission Regulation of Utilities set out last week is exactly the right measures in my mind, that we start putting in time of day pricing to allow people save money and also help us protect our grid and protect the power supply at the same time. Those sort of measures are the right policy measures to address the problem.
But we can't be sure, can we, that those peak time tariffs wouldn't be passed on to consumers, to households?
Well, what will also be on that balance is lower tariffs at the time when you do want generation to be used or generation is available. So it net is not there designed to raise tariffs.
We don't have the smart meters that can make that distinction on a house-by-house basis,
And that's why the first phase is in large energy users. We do have some 800,000 smart meters rolled out now. Every house will have one within the next 2 to 3 years. And that will provide householders with the ability to start saving money and also helping us make sure we have a secure supply at the same time.
But not everybody has the option, Minister, of saying, well, I won't turn the lights on or the heating on between 5 and 7.
No, but there are a lot of other mechanisms we can do in terms of turning on washing machines or other machines at times when it is cheaper and when it is better for us in terms of managing the overall power supply system. And it's giving signals to that where you reduce the prices at times that you want people to use the devices. And that is the clever way to go.
And hitting businesses and manufacturing companies with peak time tariffs, kind of message that say in terms of Ireland as a place to do business?
I think every other company realises, and firstly, in every country in Europe, particularly this present time, they're facing similar, if not worse, crisis. And they also realise that the smart way in this new energy system is balancing energy supply and energy demand in a way that saves companies and saves householders money and gives us a more secure system. That's the right policy approach.
We've touched on the more long-term situation here. In that regard, is the government going to have to look again at our gas storage capacity as proposed in relation to the facility planned or proposed for the Shannon Estuary? Now, Leo Varadkar, Tánaiste, has reportedly said he favours that project. Is there pressure within government to back the plan?
We do need to look at storage in a variety of different ways. We are looking and investing and building out battery storage, which would be one of the ways of giving a secure connection against our system. We will have to look on our side. We have contracted and we're now building out two new interconnectors, new electricity interconnectors with France and the UK that again give us greater security. But we're also looking at, we've commissioned a report which we'll publish shortly for consultation to look at what are the storage options. I don't believe the best storage option is where we have the likes of the LNG proposal in Shannon, where actually with it, you have a massive increase in demand. You have massive new data centres and new generation going in with it, which would actually see us actually not improving our security. The price of international LNG at the moment is incredibly expensive. There are other ways that we can provide those sort of storage capacities. I think we will need that.
So the Shannon facility, you are against that?
I don't believe that is the correct storage solution for our country. We will discuss it firstly internally in government, more widely with the public and the wider stakeholders and other interests. And I believe we can create a secure, stable and affordable and clean energy system in this country. We are on track towards delivering it. We have a very difficult period in the next 2 years, particularly because of the situation in the Ukraine, also because of the tight supply system we have. But we can and will manage our way through that.
And in relation to that report on the security of our energy supply, you were speaking to us previously on the programme and said it had been delayed, but it would be published this autumn, is that right? Have you a publication date?
Yes, it'll be published. It'll have to be shared with government colleagues in the next week or two and then published after that.
And just before I let you go, Minister, the controversy surrounding Minister Robert Troy and his property interests. He was on this programme dealing with some of the questions that have been raised. Does he have further questions to answer, do you think?
Firstly, it's very disappointing. I listened to Robert on the programme yesterday. It's very disappointing. He admitted himself his errors, significant errors in the declaration and registration of his property interests. And that does undermine confidence in the political system. I believe it's appropriate, I think, as various people have suggested, under our Ethics Act, 95 Ethics Act, there's very clear procedures in terms of how the Standards and Public Office can carry out a commission investigation. I think they should. I think included in that, we need clarity on what exactly exactly are the rules around rental contracts as to how they need to be declared? That is not clear at this present moment in time. That's come out of this whole issue. But secondly, I believe it is appropriate that the Anoraktis Committee, I happened to talk to the Count Cora this morning on this issue to get his view, and I believe it would be possible for the likes of the Oireachtas Committee on Procedures, Privileges and Oversight to have a full investigation. Under the ethics guidelines, office holders are accountable to the Oireachtas. I think it would be appropriate if that was done before the return of the Dáil. And I think though any questions the opposition or indeed members of government might have could be asked there and could be dealt with in an appropriate manner. So I think that could be done quickly and needs to be done quickly.
And sorry, did you also say you'd favour an investigation into Minister Troy by SIPO?
I think that's set out in the Oireachtas legislation, in the ethics legislation as the appropriate mechanism. And I think included within that should be clarity for all members of the Oireachtas as to what exactly is the arrangements if you have property rental contracts, how you declare those.
Eamon Ryan, Green Party leader and Minister for the Environment, Climate, Communications and Transport. Thank you for talking to us on the programme.